Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SGS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor, the podcast that promises to bring you the very best guests in all of true crime. I am your host, Joel Waldman, and we are diving right in to the Luigi Mangione story. Of course, he is the 26-year-old who's at the center of this nationwide manhunt back in December. Went on for 5 days before finally being tracked from New York City, from Manhattan, to Altoona, Pennsylvania, of all places, where he was apprehended. He is making headlines again for a number of reasons. He has pleaded not guilty. He's headed to state court tomorrow in New York. He's got a date in Pennsylvania and the Commonwealth next week. He's got a federal date coming up. But he released a statement through his website, which I believe was put together through his defense team and is basically a legal defense fund, which is just odd in and of itself. Of course, he is the man accused of fatally shooting United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Let's not forget his name in all this. Brian Thompson was the CEO of United Healthcare, gunned down by all accounts in cold blood. It was caught on video, and most believe that Luigi Mangione is the trigger man. And it's almost as though he is self-admitted because he's talking about it in his manifesto. Here to break this down, we've got criminal defense attorney, the best guest in true crime, Dwayne Cates. He is a criminal defense attorney out of Phoenix, Arizona. Originally, am I correct, Dwayne, from Wyoming? Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes, Wyoming originally and now Phoenix, Arizona. And then he's always entertaining. He's always interesting. And he's always got a unique shot. And tonight is no different. Dr. Roger Rhodes coming to us from Greenville, South Carolina, in the dark, in his car. And he's and he is freezing. So we'll see how long he lasts. And then last but not least, we are expecting criminal defense attorney John Tompkins to weigh in. People know him from the Delphi trial, and he is here today. Should be here today. So, Dwayne Cates, to you, he is due. Luigi Mangione is due in court tomorrow. It's a state hearing. He has federal charges, state charges in New York, and state charges in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tomorrow is what is known as an adjournment hearing. What does that mean to the layperson? What is an adjournment hearing?
Well, see, it's the very beginning of the case. I mean, they do a cursory review of things just to make sure everything's going on the right track and that he wants to go to trial. And, you know, they confirm that with him. And, you know, it's just the beginning of the case. I wouldn't expect any bombshells or any, you know, fireworks at this first hearing.
Yeah. What do you expect at this first hearing? Is there a chance that, he's going to show and his team's going to show just to essentially say, hey, we needed another date? Like, is that a possibility?
Well, yeah. It always happens. I mean, when you show up a court, you know, they're not ready for trial or anything substantive at this point. You know, I mean, they did raise over $400,000. So they've got a lot of work that they can do, you know, leading up to this. And I'm assuming that with that kind of money, they're going to do everything under the sun pre-trial.
Yeah. This is a fascinating case for many reasons. So again, Dwayne, and I'm getting to you, Raj, in a moment. I had to bring a therapist on, and no one better than Dr. Raj at reading the human mind and the psyche of other humans besides just Luigi Mangione. But his legal representation, Dwayne, it's a very high-powered team. It's this woman, Karen Friedman, Agnifilo, and then her husband, who is representing P. Diddy. And then they've got another person from their firm in there as well. It's Mark Agnifilo. But and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly because I always butcher the name. But are they going to represent him? I know in the Commonwealth, he has a different attorney. But in the state of New York, where the federal charges are happening, are they able to, are they going to represent him on the state charges as well? Is that how you understand? Is that common?
Well, it is. Well, number one, it's not really common to have both state and federal running at the same time. Usually one of them goes first, and, you know, and then they get another shot at it by having, you know, another one if something screws up in the first case. But they have them both running at the same time, and that could be to put some pressure on the defendant. I mean, you know, the federal court, you know, they're going for the death penalty, so they can hang that over his head, use it to negotiate a plea. You know, they can bounce it back and forth. But my understanding that the defense team's the same on both cases, and double the pleasure, double the fun.
Yeah. The old Wrigley Spearmint commercial right there.
Yourself.
Yeah, we'll get into the future court dates in a minute. But Dr. Raj, this is why I have you sitting in the cold, unfortunately for you. But
well worth it to be with you guys.
Now, if we go back to Valentine's Day, just about 5 days ago or 6 days ago now, Luigi Mangione releases a statement. It's his quote unquote first official message since his arrest. I mean, this is like, you know, I'm trying to think this is like J-Lo and Ben Affleck announcing their divorce. Like, I don't know, this guy, I guess, thinks he's a celebrity, and he is. Yeah, I assume
that's part of it all right there, Joel. That's part of it right there.
Yeah.
Good,
so what
connection? Good connection there.
Thank you. So explain that further to me. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, he does have a lot of people who who are fans of his. I don't know, like the verb of, I guess, fangirling, fanboying, whatever the term
is.
He has a lot of people that are supportive of him, but he comes out and releases a statement. It's kind of crazy. And we can ask Dwayne how common this is, but, and I'll get to the statement in a minute, but just the fact that he's doing this either at his own behest or at the behest of his attorneys, what does this tell you about him?
That he is incredibly grandiose. You know, he sees himself as a celebrity, and what he's done is in the role of his imagination of what a hero would do, you know, and that's what he's looking for other people to see. Look, I righted a wrong. I'm the good guy. I should not be prosecuted. I should be celebrated. And I love the J-Lo Ben Affleck thing, because it's an element of celebrity. It's a illness of the manifestation of wanting to be a celebrity, and what do I need to do to be a celebrity? Kind of on the edge of narcissism right there.
Yeah. The sad thing is, I actually probably care more about this guy, what he has to say, than either J-Lo or Ben, but that's not saying much. That's not saying much.
Really sad.
Yeah. So, and by the way, thank you for that super sticker a moment ago. I greatly appreciate it. And the name just flew by me, but I appreciate it very much, as does everyone here. Robin, thank you, Robin. Thank you. Cooler by the lake. The feds tend to go first. Dwayne, I believe that is true, if you want to speak to that. But also, I'm fascinated by this statement. The COE is going to actually pull up the statement momentarily. I have it here so I can read it, but I want to show you guys the graphic of it as well. But Dwayne, how common or uncommon is it for a defendant, in a murder case, which could be a capital murder case, a federal murder case? I mean, how common is it? How many times have you seen someone release a statement under their own name, not even their attorney's name, but under their own name?
Yeah, it's pretty rare, not well advised. I mean, I think I said it last time I was on your show, you have the right to remain silent, but some people just don't have the ability. And, you know, it plays into the being the celebrity. I mean, he wants to be out there. He wants to acknowledge his fans. He wants people to write him letters, you know, and if he just sits quietly, they may forget about him. They may quit writing letters. And so, you know, and I've never seen a law firm design a website before specifically for raising money and about the case. I mean, that really struck me as being unusual.
Yeah. And I want to circle back because of the weirdness in this case already. Those two things jump out at me, the statement and also the fact that his legal team, like you just said, is apparently the ones who helped build this website, which is out there for anyone's consumption to follow the case. So we are going to get to that in a moment. And as Raj resituates, let me just let you know again, he's in court tomorrow on state charges in New York and then in the Commonwealth on Monday. So, but Monday he's appearing via Zoom from what I understand. And then his next federal court date is slated for March 19th of 2025, March 19th of 2025. And we do have John Tompkins. Hey, John, how are you?
We're going to come to you and
excellent. We're going to come to you in 1 second. You're joined by a therapist, Dr. Roger Rhodes, who's sitting in a cold, dark car in Greenville, South Carolina, and Dwayne Cates, criminal defense attorney out of Phoenix. But Dwayne, the feds will go first here. So, you know, they've got to go, obviously, through the legal proceedings at both state levels. But what are you expecting? I mean, we talked about tomorrow's state hearing, which is an adjournment hearing, but the next federal hearing, they move things along quicker. What would you expect at this next federal hearing? What sorts of things?
Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it's scheduled for, but a lot of times they'll have a detention hearing to determine if he's to remain in custody while this is going on, which he's going to. There's no way they're going to let him bond out, you know, or it's just a check-in. Now, the feds always set a trial really, really early, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's when the trial is going to go. I mean, I've been involved in federal cases that took 2 years to get to trial. So, you know, and the feds aren't necessarily have to go first. I mean, I believe that the prosecutors, both prosecutors are working together to come up with a strategy, the best way that they want to do this. And so I think that there'll be some coordination and they'll decide which way's best to go. So I don't necessarily believe that the feds have to go first. I'll guarantee you the feds will be scheduled first, but I don't think that they'll go first.
Oh, that's interesting. John Tompkins, do you agree with that? Raj, I have you muted, Raj. I'm going to unmute you when I come to you, but just so you know. And if you start to shiver too much, I got to call authorities. But Jetstream, I'm glad I'm tired of surfing YouTube. Join, hey, come here. You don't have to surf anymore. But John Tompkins, you agree with Dwayne here about the state actually going first and how come?
Yes, I do. And in Indiana, we've got a special reason that the state wants to go first if there are going to be two separate prosecutions. And that is Indiana has what's called a self-restraint statute. It is not a double jeopardy protection, not a constitutional protection. It's a state statute that says if you are prosecuted in another jurisdiction based on the same facts, Indiana will not prosecute you, even if you're acquitted in that other jurisdiction. So Indiana, if they wanted to actually do the prosecution, would not wait for the feds. They would go forward with the state prosecution. So the federal prosecution can move forward. They're not constrained by the state statute. Additionally, it's easier for the state to put together the case and be prepared for a trial a lot of times than it is for in the federal system. It just doesn't take as much logistics, and obviously everything's very local as opposed to dispersed.
Yeah. So let's get right to the statement. You know, this is the part that jumps out to me, and Raj, I'm going to be coming to you in a second here, but the statement reads, and this is Luigi Mangione in his own words. This is not his defense team. I mean, maybe they probably, I'm sure, helped him craft it, but this is allegedly from him. And it says, I am overwhelmed by and grateful for, it's like an Oscar speech here, everyone who has written me to share their story. I am so overwhelmed. I never thought I would win Best Actor at such an... okay, so this the message. Let me get serious for a minute here. I am overwhelmed by and grateful for everyone who has written me to share their stories and express their support. Powerfully, this support has transcended political, racial, and even class divisions as mail has flooded MDC from across the country and around the globe. While it is impossible for me to reply to most letters, please know that I read every one that I receive. Thank you again, because I got nothing else to do. Thank you again to everyone who took the time to write. I look forward to hearing more in the future. I mean, Raj, what do you make of this, Raj? Let me unmute you here. What do you make of this, Raj? I mean, this is, I guess, narcissism at its best and something else at its worst.
Well, certainly. But also what you're seeing is a plan. I love how you're making it wrapping around acting, because that's really what you've got on your hands. This guy sees himself as this role that he was meant to play. And that's what he's trying to show you.
Yeah.
Does he have certainly an element of grandiosity, certainly an element of narcissism. But do I think that mental illness will play a factor in his trial? And the answer is no. No, yeah. I think he is not well, but I don't think that matters. Mm-hmm. I think that he thought he would be championed for taking down, quote unquote, in his mind, the bad guy. And he is playing in his mind a role.
Yeah.
And he is, quote unquote, the hero of the story.
Yeah. By the way, Josephine Santa Moro here with a question back to Raj. And Raj, I'm glad you're settled in your office where I hope there is heat. Yeah, good. What is with people worshiping criminals? I don't understand it. It's just crazy. Now, listen, there's going to be people that are going to send me mail saying, why are you mocking this guy? This guy is saving America, helping save America. What do you say about this, Rob?
Right, Joel, just what you said at the last is at the core of everything, okay, is the fact that this is what he expected and motivated him to do what he did and why he has no shame. No shame, okay? I did this. This is how it happened. And hopefully the right people will see what a great guy I am and what I needed to do to help America. You know, he's a patriot in his head.
Yeah, it's tough to wrap your head around. This is a guy that everyone should be talking about. And by the way, this goes back to my disdain for the whole Karen Reed ecosystem, is that you never hear about Officer John O'Keefe. Never. You just hear Karen Reed's name, and here it's Brian Thompson who was killed. But Dwayne, as I step off my soapbox, back to you. Let me get this statement back up because I'd like to get your take. This is apparently written by him. I assume the attorneys had some hand in this as well. Again, I'm overwhelmed by, grateful for everyone who's written to me to share their stories. Please know that you read every. If you're his criminal defense attorney and you see this pop up, I mean, you'd have to help him get it on the website, I assume. But you see this all of a sudden. What is your reaction? What kind of conversation are you having with him, assuming you're his attorney and not the representation he has? Because, again, I think the representation he has are urging him to do this.
Oh, I would urge him to do it too. I mean, I do a lot of crisis communications. I was a communications persuasion major in college, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to taint the jury pool. They're trying to humanize him. They're trying to make him into a hero. They're trying to make him into this great guy that's gracious and grateful for all the help. And I'm glad I could do this for you people. And again, he's trying to win over at least one juror. One juror is a mistrial, and so he is doing the best they can to poison the jury pool, in his favor. And plain and simple, that's all that the only reason for this statement.
Raj, I'm bringing this up just to prove my point. Now, this could be facetious, but I bet you it's not. The comment right here, Luigi is God. I mean, he's literally deifying this guy. And I don't want to, you know, call this guy out, even though he should be. But there are people out there who say Luigi is like God. He's saving us all. Forget Luigi, but what do you say to those people? I mean, there's no question there's issues with the healthcare system in this country. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I have my own grievances, but I don't go around killing people, and either should Luigi Mangione. So what do you say to the people supporting him?
Well, it's a mind virus that's out there that is connecting people to dealing with issues in an unhealthy way. This is a great case that would come under the umbrella of justice system. That's why we have a justice system, not vigilante. And why would a vigilante go out and shoot anybody in the OS? It's because everybody was behind him and praised him. Even though they may be, from a lawyer's standpoint, trying to affect one lawyer, he's not trying to affect anybody, but he's trying to affect everybody. He's hoping for a groundswell of a support of his mental illness.
This is a question that I don't think we have an expert on to discuss, but how can he get it? First of all, the GoFundMe was actually shut down because you're not allowed to be a quote unquote potential violent offender. And it had to go to a separate site. But you can see here that he is raised the goal. I mean, I want to say this is only in America, but maybe this is elsewhere, too. I mean, you've got a goal of $1 million. Keep in mind, this is put together by his defense team. So they're saying, let's get this guy $1 million and I can, then I can take that money, put it in my pockets and give him a defense. But he has raised over $500,000, which, by the way, sounds like a big number, but you consider there's 360 million Americans and people overseas, and it's people aren't that eager to get into their pockets. If this guy was as big a hero nationally and internationally as he's being portrayed, I think the number would be significantly higher. But John Tompkins, I want to get to you on this too. So this is just, I don't know, blowing my mind here. Same question to you. Would you encourage your client to put out a statement like this? It seems, I hate to use this word with criminal defense attorneys, a touch sleazy to maybe do that, but I understand the end game. But is this something that you would encourage, discourage, and why?
I would absolutely discourage it. In fact, I would tell him not to make any public statements whatsoever. I mean, the Miranda phrase, anything you say can and will be used against you, is true for even these kinds of statements. The prosecutor, it's fair game to use that in opening statements, to use that in jury selection, to identify people who are trying not to be seen as sympathizers, but realize that they are. It is a very foolish thing to let your client make a personal statement out of his mouth. If you want to issue a statement for your client, which is oftentimes entirely appropriate, because as far as poisoning the jury pool goes, if you want to criticize the defense for that, let's talk about prosecutors and U.S. attorneys who dominate and monopolize the news to poison jury pools every single day by releasing probable cause affidavits that are not admissible in court and contain false statements. You know, both sides are playing a game. I don't like to play the game in the public forum. I only go in the public forum when I think it's necessary to push back against what the other side is putting in the public forum. But I would absolutely not have my client release a statement that can be used against him.
Yeah, and I understand that, to push back. I get that. Josephine's back here, and this is important. I just want to state that I'm an ER trauma nurse. Thank you for your service. Thank you for doing that. And we don't look at someone's insurance card. We provide care for every patient. I am happy to hear that. There are other situations, obviously, where, look, my dad was a doctor, and he made the joke, you know, the first question he asks is, what kind of insurance do you have? Which is the first question. It's never like, what's wrong, or how do you feel? It's, do you have insurance? And then tell me what's wrong. which is a problem, as is the lighting in my studio. But eventually we're going to fix that. Vesper Martini here. If this website was created by his attorneys to raise money, which is what it sure sounds like, then his family is not helping with paying for his defense. Dwayne, we don't know. He comes from a very affluent, wealthy family. Is $1 million here a reasonable amount for his defense team? They're three big New York City attorneys. Or is that just a drop in the bucket and maybe the family is subsidizing it? They just need more.
Well, the O.J. Simpson case, I think they spent something like $20 million on his defense. They had the best expert, the best lawyer in every you know, arena. So, I mean, you can spend as much money as you want to on a defense. Me personally, I've never done a case for $1 million. I would be more than happy to, but have not run into anybody that's willing to do that yet. So, you know, his parents, I mean, I think his parents, if they're raising this kind of money and the parents don't have to pitch in, I think they're probably pretty happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, even though they're incredibly wealthy, no one wants to sit there and, you know, spend money on their son who's now accused of murdering another human being. This feeds his outrageous ego, which is what Nikki says. Dr. Raj, back to you. So there's websites like Etsy where you can buy shirts and artwork, and Amazon, and they literally were selling out of quote unquote free Luigi merchandise. There's also memes. Yeah, there's also memes all over the place that, you know, basically deify this guy. But again, I mean, who is out there buying a free Luigi shirt? I mean, obviously they're trying to make a statement about healthcare. But I guess where do these lines, you know, where should these lines converge and then not converge when you're talking about a person that literally is accused of putting a bullet in this person's back and killing him? Oh, Raj, I got to unmute you. Hang on. Go ahead, Raj.
Okay. He's a star in his own movie. He's created a movie of his life. He was a nobody. And he wanted to be a somebody, and his brain said, the way you'll be somebody, be a knight in shining armor, okay? And so that's what we saw is his personal movie of dealing with an injustice. And the same people that buy Save the Whale T-shirts in California are the same people who would buy Free Him here. It's the same crowd. You know, they all, it comes from a mindset of victimhood and of righting a great wrong. And what is at the heart of it, though, Joel, is he's just a sick individual, but he's not too sick to be put to death.
Mm. Oh, man, that was a mic drop moment right there. I mean, again, the other part of this, you know, Raj, let me just go back to you real quick because I'm thinking about the victim. Right. This guy right here who was killed, apparently his sons are excellent athletes, baseball players. You know, there's a time where people were suspicious of the wife, maybe, but obviously that never came to fruition because they were estranged. The wife lives separately. But by all accounts, this guy is a great dad, and he and the wife, I think, get along. Despite being estranged from one another. So, I mean, what do you say to the victim's family here when they're out there seeing people possibly in Minnesota walking around in a free Luigi shirt? Like, thankfully it's minus 70 or whatever in Minnesota. So not a lot of t-shirts out in the open, but you get what I'm saying. Like, what would you say to the victim's family here?
Well, if I would say, if you want to identify the sick people in your community, look for people who have that T-shirt, and that then they don't have to tell you they're sick by wearing that T-shirt. They're saying indirectly, I'm a sick individual and I support sick individuals doing sick things. Mm. And this guy, he didn't get to where he was because he was a loser. He got to be at the top because he did what he needed to do to get there. This is not about his character. It's about the shooter needing recognition. That is all this case is really about. A insignificant young man who wanted significance, and the only way he could figure it out in his disturbed brain was to kill someone else. And he did that. And so getting recognized all over the world is making his day. Prolonging this trial will make his day. He doesn't care whether he's right or wrong. He wants to be, I did it. It's not about right or wrong. He's looking for that he brought justice. That's not right or wrong. I'm a purveyor of justice. It's where this kid was. And that's how sick he was.
And I'm getting back to the criminal defense attorneys in a second. But Raj, Lil G here, yelling at me. Why do you call it a fan club? Normal people are affected daily by the creed in America and are willing to support a case that sheds light into this topic. But you are omitting, Lil G, something important. They're supporting de facto a guy who literally killed someone in cold blood. So I'm asking you, Little G, is it okay to create what? It's all a label. You call it a fan club, but you can call it Luigi Mangione supporter, whatever you want to call it. This guy still killed somebody. But Raj, look, I mean, I knew this was going to happen. People are coming at me. Why are you calling it a fan club? What would your response to them be?
Okay, I would say, do you remember a musician called John Lennon? Would be the first thing I'd say. Who shot John Lennon? And was he a somebody? And is he still alive? And has he been on all kinds of cameras and notoriety and everything? It's the same crowd. It's the same crowd. He's just like the guy who shot John Lennon. This guy's just John Lennon. He's a major hospital person, and that's the bad guy, you know. And that's the guy who shot John Lennon. He's evil. He's bad. I was doing something righteous. It's the same mental illness that you see out there, and there's always going to be hanger on or. And they are fans. They are fanatics around disturbed mental illness. And that's what he's working on. That's what he wants.
This person here, there's another comment. Dwayne, remember this question because I have like short-term memory issues, but I'm going to ask you about should they have charged him federally. But Raj, real quick, just back to you on this. The question here is, how many did the CEO take down? So this person is making a moral equivalency since he, you know, by being a CEO of a company and this person believing that he killed people in that role, it's okay for Luigi to kill him. I mean, what happens to society when you start to take that point of view?
That's called, Joel, anarchy is what happens if that happens. All this guy was doing his job. He didn't kill anybody. He was no physician. Certainly, I guarantee you, he made management decisions that it was overseen by a board of medical people, and they were supportive of him. It's why he had that job. And he was, in his world, a real somebody, and the kid who shot him was a nobody, a mentally ill nobody. And boy, the one great thing people love to get on the victim bandwagon, Joel, and he had a bandwagon, and he's a victim, and he took care of the big old bad medical people. Wow. What disturbed thinking. What an element of disturbed thinking.
I mean, and sadly, there are a lot of people who are thinking this way. But Robin here... with a good point, with a super chat, thank you. With his educational background, family connections, and wealth, he could have made a healthy and active contribution to mend the breakage in the system that the fury is directed at. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And, man, Yes. Now, what you just heard there was solid logic from that comment. I love it. I love it.
What I find really logic.
Dwayne, jump in. I'm sorry.
What I feel really, really kind of strange about is that he wasn't even wrong. I mean, he didn't even have United Healthcare insurance. He wasn't screwed by this guy. There was literally nothing. Nothing happened to him. You know, he had good health care. He didn't have a bad health care outcome. They didn't decline a procedure for him. They didn't do anything to him. Okay. He just decided to be a vigilante and decided that this guy deserves to die. And that is just, that's just wrong. I mean, he had no axe to grind.
It's beyond wrong. It shows that this young man is mentally not well. I mean, it's beyond right and wrong. It's the fact that he's so out of the box. What he did makes sense to him. That's what throws you about mentally ill people. They don't see themselves as mentally ill. It's like, well, this is my world. This is the way I see it. And so, quote unquote, in my world, I'm correct. In my world, I did the right thing. And people out there that understand me should go out and buy a T-shirt and I get the money.
Yeah. It is important to point out that, I mean, there are a lot of people with mental illness who are not doing this. So I don't think Roger's making any kind of excuse there. Yeah. You know, it's Steve Taylor.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Roger.
I think that there are people that have mental issues and they are not going out harming other people are harming themselves. They are seeking and getting treatment. But there are people out there, and it's very scary, that are not well, that refuse treatment, and that are ticking time bombs. And he is a good example of that group of people that are ticking time bombs, that are not well, and could go off at any time.
Yeah, well, he just went off in all the wrong ways. I'm curious, John, to you, this is going to have zero positive effect in changing insurance policy costs. In fact, insurance fees are likely going to increase due to the need for. Do you think this is going to have any impact at all? I know this is not really your arena, but do you think it's going to have any impact at all on the healthcare system, the way it's structured and executed in this country?
Well, I mean, I hope they find a way to honor the deceased and addressing the issues that we're all discussing in something positive, because clearly Mr. Maggioni's way is not the way to deal or bring that issue to light. I'm not saying that his message is meritless. It's worth discussing. Do I think it's going to impact the healthcare industry and get them to streamline things? Well, probably not. I mean, we're going to see increased expenses for healthcare executives because they're going to need additional security. We've seen that at federal courthouses and state courthouses since the 9/11 attack. So on a smaller scale, we're going to see some impact of that. But I don't think it's going to hit the pocketbooks and the premiums of individual healthcare policy holders. I don't think it'll be that great of an expense. I would like to point out, though, go back to Mr. Maggioni and how he did this. You know, I'm not so sure he ever intended to be a spokesperson, a mouthpiece, a martyr, a person on a T-shirt. He did not turn himself in. He didn't give himself up. He took extraordinary lengths to avoid being identified and avoid being taken into custody afterwards. So he has ended up in this. I don't think it's necessarily accurate. I haven't seen anybody say that he wanted to be a martyr and he was trying to put a message out. I think there was a message in the killing. It was targeted. There's no doubt about that. But he didn't plan to make any announcements about it. In fact, he tried very hard not to.
That's a very interesting point. But I mean, now that he's caught, the old proverbial cat is out of the bag. And now I think he's leveraging it to kind of help and martyr himself. You see, Jenny Allison, I worked solely on getting prior authorizations approved for procedures and appointments for a clinic for some time. There is never one person that's to blame. Overall problem is the system. There's no doubt that there is problems with the healthcare system, but they are never going to be solved from murdering a healthcare CEO. Dwayne, back to you. You know, I started to ask you about federal charges. There was a person in chat, forgive me again, because I can't remember exactly who it was, who basically said that they felt that the federal charges may have just been a way to keep him out of Rikers Island, which would not have been healthy, but either is the MDC. There you go. It's Tennis Girl 101. Do you agree with federal charges here? I mean, he crosses state lines, that's for one, but is this a case where federal charges should be brought, or is this, in your opinion, a state case?
Well, you know, the reason the feds brought the case was so that they could go after the death penalty. I mean, that's why the feds got involved at all. And that's why the fed case is going to go much later than the state case, because death penalty cases take forever, because you got to dot every I, cross every T. You've got to have mitigation. You got to have death penalty hearings. You got to have, I mean, there's tons more procedure in a death penalty case, and they take way longer to execute. I truly believe they did the death penalty case so that they could force him to not take a trial and maybe offer him a plea of life without parole.
I had a comment up there that I was here we go. Lily Pauly just looked on Amazon here in the UK. By the way, let me know if my book's for sale there, Surviving Survivor, and they are selling free Luigi t-shirts here too. And, you know, I was looking online. There's a giant mural that someone painted of this guy in London on some wall in London. So you see, like, the cult of personality is growing. It is interesting what John said, is that it appears this guy was trying to hide. So the question is, you know, was he too cowardly afterwards to take the credit? Did he want to take the credit? You know, it's going to be interesting when more and more information comes out. He did share praise for the Unabomber. He had his own manifesto, which we'll get to, but just kind of breaking down these numbers. And John, I'm going to come back to you on this. So they had a defense fund goal back on December 10th, which was like 6 days after this crime was committed, of $50,000. That goal went up to $200,000. And now the fund has raised over $500,000 with $1 million goal. Where do you cross the ethical line as an attorney? And again, the lead attorney is a former federal prosecutor. She's like a big name, and they are setting up a legal defense fund for themselves, in essence. Where do you cross the ethical line as an attorney when it comes to something like this?
Well, the way I approach these cases are I look at the number of hours that it's going to take, and I look at the fact that I cannot work those hours for anyone else. And so if one person wants to take the hours of 10 people, they're going to have to pay the fees of 10 people. Now, I would also like to mention, we don't know, I haven't seen the fee agreement with these attorneys between the Mangione family. That representation is not only in state and federal, it may extend into the appellate and post-conviction phase. So this might be a defense fund that has to last for 10 or 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, John, just throw a number out at me. You've got state in New York and Pennsylvania, and then you got the federal charges to litigate all this. Give me a number that you would throw out in terms of total legal costs for something like this.
Up to trial phase before any appeals, $3 million.
Dwayne, you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you can easily spend that kind of money on a case.
I'm looking at some of the comments here. I mean, Dwayne, you're aggressive. I like it. You know, you said that you would actually have him put out a similar statement because I can tell you're the kind of guy that's going to play offense, not defense. So, I mean, aside from that, if you were representing him, What would you be doing right now to kind of either muddy a potential jury pool or, you know, make things right for your client in terms of trying to get him out of from behind bars?
Well, yeah, just to be clear, I wouldn't put out a statement like that for every client. Most clients I tell to shut up. But this guy, I mean, you know, he got caught with the same hoodie on, the mask, the gun with him. He wrote a manifesto. This guy's toast. Okay. And so his only hope is a Hail Mary, is to try to get a couple jurors that, you know, stealth jurors that get on the jury that are Mangione fans and to do that. And in order to do that, you got to get the message out to the biggest pool possible. And so, you know, I wouldn't put out a bunch of these statements. You know, the statement he put out is not incriminating. He's just thanking his fans, you know, and he's doing it graciously. Okay. And so, you know, that's not incriminating. I wouldn't have him put out a bunch of statements, and there's no way he'd be putting out any statements that I didn't read and approve ahead of time. Okay. But, you know, he's got to assemble an OJ Simpson team. He's got to get the best video experts, the best expert in every field that you can think of. He's got to have a team of investigators. They got to put together, and they have the money to, you know, a dream team to attack this at every angle. They're probably still going to lose. I don't see how you win this case. You know, the way you win this case is, you know, he probably wants to go to trial. I disagree that he didn't want to be found out. I think he wanted to increase his celebrity by being on the run. I think he did this and that he let out enough. I mean, there were pictures where he pulled his mask down. You know, he wanted to get caught. He just wanted to play the game as long as he possibly could. And the more he ran and the longer it took them to catch him, the bigger his celebrity grew.
Yeah. Dr. Raj, another eye-opening comment from Bill 3. Because Luigi, Raj, did it for the people, not himself. He did it all for the people, not himself. Your response to this person who believes that he was doing it for the masses out of the goodness of his heart. Oh, you're muted. Let me unmute you. Go ahead, Raj.
No, that's just a hooey. He did it all for himself. And he wanted to be caught. He wanted to allude as much as possible to increase what he saw as his celebrity. That and this is all about his not well version of his life as a celebrity, going from a nobody to a somebody by playing the role of hero. That was just a like a movie role. He had his own movie going, and the role he was playing was hero against the system. And that's what and he wants to get all the people who feel victimized by the system as his supporters. And hopefully he can taint the jury and get an acquittal. It'll be a tough move, though.
Yeah. By the way, there's someone who did respond saying it. There is a moral equivalency that since you are wronged by a healthcare company, it's okay to go out and murder somebody. Raj, what would you say to that person? That's what they just said. That's what they just said in the chat. Well, what do you say to them? That's the same guy or woman, B-I-L-N.
Yeah, I feel the first thing I'd say, Joel, is encourage that listener to get professional help. That would be the first thing I would say. That is an unwell train of thinking, and that person needs professional help.
Yeah. Blake bringing up a good point. To John's point, he left an encrypted message. He did not want to get caught, in my opinion. John Tompkins, to you, good luck finding 12 people that have not been effed by this rugged or I mean rigged system, but that's another good point. I mean, John, when it comes time for voir dire, there's going to be people in that potential jury pool, no doubt, that have been screwed over by healthcare companies or had at the very least a difficult time getting bounced from one operator to the next, and that drives me the most crazy. And then you're speaking to a robotic voice, at which I curse a lot at robotic voices, as COE knows. I scream at them. I hope they're not all recorded lines. I say horrible things to those robots. But John Tompkins, 12 people, are you going to be able to find 12 people who are not impacted in any way negatively by the healthcare industry?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to find some millionaires who are self-insured, I think. And I don't think you're going to find 12 of those, even in New York City, who end up on the same jury. I mean, this is a horrible crime. There's no doubt about it. What is the defense going to be? I think you have to look at, and when you're looking for jurors, there are sort of two phases of that. You're trying to beat murder the first. You're trying to beat that lead charge in state court. I think that was probably an overreach by the state prosecutor, and you're trying to beat the death penalty in the federal case, as was already alluded to. You're trying to get them to take a plea to take death off the table. So neither of the attorneys here today have said we're going for not guilty. You might go for a hang, maybe being able to get two or three jurors who've really been worked over by the healthcare industry onto that jury would hang it. And you're also talking to the prosecutors about, do you really think you're going to get this case to verdict? You know, sit down with me. Let's work out something that neither side likes, because you got to face facts to the point you're making. You will not get 12 juries who are not screwed by the healthcare system. So face that fact. Give us something that is palatable, not easy. And you don't have to face that risk of having to try this case two or three times.
Dwayne, do you agree that there should be some sort of plea here? And if there was, what would be like a fair plea deal for shooting a guy and killing him, a father of two, in the back? What's a fair plea deal if there is such a thing?
Well, I think they charged the death penalty so that they could make life in prison without parole look good. Okay. As compared to spending life in prison on death row, he can spend life in prison in general population where he'll be a hero, you know, and he gets to live the life of a hero in general pop and not have to be, you know, on 23-hour a day lockdown on death row. So I think that's why they charged it. You know, they want to make life in prison look good.
Raj, Linda Mon is in the chat asking over and over, what can people do to help improve the system? I assume other than murdering somebody. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. What would your suggestion? I mean, let's say you had a patient comes into your office and says, hey, Raj, I'm having, you know, obsessive thoughts that are awful about, you know, doing something to a healthcare executive, but I really want to do something positive. I don't want to do that. What can I do positively? What would you say to them?
Well, first thing I would offer them would be treated in-house. I would say that there's an element of safety in here, and you're having unsafe thoughts, and it may lead you to make unsafe decisions. So that would be the first case. Now, if they refuse that, I say, okay, then let's look at a healthy, constructive way that your voice can be heard. There's the real element of there. That's why people want to have retribution, is they feel unheard. They feel insignificant. And so that they're trying to strike back and make a statement. And so that would be where I would look at the decisions that client could make that would make them feel heard. And I believe as they felt heard, they would see less of a need to harm someone within the health system.
Well said, Raj. So the other thing here that's going to play a big factor in this trial is the manifesto. And I want to get all three guests' opinions on it. And just to break it down, related to his actions in the manifesto, he says, and these are direct quotes from Luigi Mangione, "I do apologize for any strife or traumas, but it had to be done." I mean, John Tompkins, obviously the feds are going to pull this manifesto, assuming it's not suppressed for some reason, and they're going to read that. "I do apologize for any strife or traumas, but it had to be done." To me, that's an admission.
First thing I would ask is, what had to be done? That's the first thing I would ask in there.
Good question.
What had to be done? And listen to his explanation of of that, and I think it would make him sound very unwell.
Yeah, that's a good point, Raj. But to that point, John, as a defense attorney, that's a very problematic statement because it's almost like an admission. But maybe you could come up with something with him where it had to be done meant he had to tie his shoelaces that day. I don't know. Like, what? How do you take a statement that incriminating into court with you?
Well, I mean, you never go to trial without bad facts. That's just a truism. Your clients have said things, they've thought things. By the time you get to trial, you've got a significant mental health record. You've got significant examinations to try to contextualize that. You look at other actions that he took. But again, you know, this is a case where they put a gun in his hand and they put the act of the crime on him directly. There's really not a this didn't happen. There's not a self-defense. So you're looking at mental health issues and you're looking at how you can tie that type of manifesto into a mindset that he felt trapped in a way, because of course no normal mind thinks that the only option for any problem is to kill someone. So there's an issue with the way his mind is working and what has caused this mind to go down that path and feel that way to the extent that he gives up the rest of his life to imprisonment and maybe the rest of his life, period, if the death penalty succeeds. So I would be looking to use that as one of the dots to show his mental deterioration and how did he get to a place where he truly thought this is the only answer when it absolutely is not any answer. It's the only answer that you cannot give. It's the only way you cannot address that problem.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. This is neither really here nor there, but kind of everywhere. I mean, John and Dwayne, but I'll ask John first. Hypothetically, this guy retains you and you're his defense attorney. How do you, like, in your own mind, kind of negotiate the fact that you're a criminal defense attorney, but you're dealing with somebody who's appears to be sort of delusional? You know what I mean? Like, where you know that he's probably not all there, that he's at the very least just misguided. But how is it? I'm curious, like, sitting at home and you're working on the case, I assume you have to say everyone deserves a vigorous defense, but there's got to be a part of you who knows that you're defending someone that is caught on camera, who appears to be the same person, who now has this manifesto. What's kind of the self-talk that goes on, John Tompkins?
Well, first, what you're doing is working hard to make sure the system treats people fairly and that the public will understand the outcome and view it as a fair outcome. And second, you're really trying to establish what is the best possible outcome in this case. And it is a mistake to look at a case as a criminal defense attorney and say the only, you know, justifiable goal is not guilty, acquittal, walk away, free man. That is not a realistic approach to criminal defense. That is not fair to your clients. You have to tell them bad news. You have to build realistic expectations. You have to listen to them, find out what their expectations are. A lot of people, you know, don't end up in jail with serious charges thinking, oh, I should be able to go home in 2 weeks, or I'm absolutely going to win this jury trial. So you need to find out what is in their mindset and then get it to an acceptance of what is a realistic best possible outcome. In many cases, that is not, we're going to be able to find 12 people to vote not guilty. And they just have to come to an understanding of that. And that's the difficulty of criminal defense, because you are working with people who might have this man, for instance, Mr. Mangione. He ends up in jail thinking that the only possible answer to the problem of health care is to kill somebody. Well, you've got to take someone with that mindset who's gotten their mind to a point where they think that, and get them adjusted to the system that they have put themselves in and start talking about realistic outcomes and best possible outcomes. And the self-talk you're having is, what is the best job I can do to get the best possible outcome for this individual under these circumstances?
Yeah, well put. Just going to mute John. He's got a little audio hiccup going on. But look at this. Raj, UB40, red wine. Hey, Joel, why don't you for once put the healthcare system on blast and leave Luigi alone and go after the real murderers, United Healthcare, not Luigi? Number one, I'll address this first, Raj. If you were listening to my show, I just said probably 20 times that the healthcare system in this country is broken. But for you to question why I'm not supporting a guy who is now accused of murdering someone to make his point, you need to take a look in the mirror, red wine, or if you're in South Carolina, look up Dr. Roger Rhodes and get in there. I mean, something is wrong with your thinking. This is not a country where it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You can go to countries like Iran, and if you're a homosexual, you're going to get your arms chopped off or hanged and thrown off a balcony. But that's not how it works in America. Raj, I'm getting worked up. I'm getting fired up. I don't know what it is. I'm not cold because I live in Miami, but I'm annoyed. What is your reaction to someone who's now calling me out, telling me that I need to talk more vocally about the healthcare system being broken, which I have, as opposed to the murder, the cold, callous murder of a healthcare CEO? Raj, sort this out for us. And you're muted, so let me unmute you. Now, go ahead, Raj.
With someone, I don't think it's your job to defend the healthcare system against people who have a victim mindset, as if being a victim makes it okay to do something illegal. That is nonsensical. Just because you feel victimized does not give you the right in America to take justice in your own hands. We call those people vigilantes. And it is something to you get worked up because they're forcing you to play defender of the system by them playing victim of poor me, I've been abused by the system. No, you don't hear people who go, if I feel victimized, I go out there, I get on boards, I get in the system, I do my piece. I'm proactive. See, people that are proactive aren't victims, and defending and taking a position of victimhood is the weakest position you can take, and it is not healthy. And Joel, I don't know how you cannot get worked up by having to defend something that is not defensible.
This comment brought joy to my my eyes, almost made me tear up. Jimmy McNutty, who is a longtime trial watcher since the OJ days. Joel is a newsman. I don't know about that. I pay more. This is the part that I like. I pay more for STS than my Tucker Carlson subscription. The things I could say right now, other than Tucker's pants are always 5 inches too short, and I had to look at that for 4 or 5 straight years. So, Dwayne Cates, to you. Regarding healthcare executives, this is back to the manifesto. He writes, frankly, these parasites simply had it coming. The U.S. has the number one most expensive healthcare system in the world, yet we rank roughly 42 in life expectancy. Again, these are, as John calls and you lawyers call them, bad facts. These are bad words. There's no doubt the prosecution, the government is going to bring this into play. How do you, I asked John the same thing. How do you defend this or do you not? Is this going to ultimately, again, just end up kind of a battle royale between those who think what he did is right, those who think what he did is wrong, and then there's going to ultimately be a plea deal? Because if you go in there with some of these manifesto statements like these parasites had it coming, it's not going to be very good for your case, Dwayne.
Well, yeah. And again, this whole case is going to be spent in mental health defense and mitigation. Okay. Because when you got the death penalty, you've got to put on a strong mitigation case. I'm sure he's being evaluated, by a neuropsychologist, by a psychologist, by a toxicologist, if he was on any kind of medications with bad reactions. I mean, I would have every psychological evaluation done possible, because that's the only possible way you can explain this. I mean, you can't explain this by, I didn't say this because he said it. Okay. And one thing about bad facts, because every trial has bad facts, but if you spend the entire trial explaining bad facts, you lose. I told that to a client the other day. You know, if you spend the whole time explaining bad facts, even though we got great explanations, but if you spend the whole trial doing that, you lose. Okay, you can explain away a couple bad facts. You can't explain all the bad facts.
Yeah. And as much as it pains me to say this, I mean, the system is far from perfect, but sadly, it's one of the better systems. I mean, I prefer to have, you know, my spleen removed in America as opposed to Bangladesh. No offense to Bangladesh, but got pretty good doctors, and the system does have a lot of issues, and it needs to be fixed. But it ain't going to happen by killing somebody. Dr. Raj, the manifesto, again, he says these parasites had it coming. And then it goes on the corporate power. The reality is these companies have simply gotten too powerful, he has declared, and they continue to abuse our country for immense profit. I got news for you. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, all these companies are doing that. Obviously, lives are at stake with healthcare, but I mean, there's, you know, you can make these points about other companies that are now like institutional in America. But he goes on to talk about frustration with inaction, Raj. He says many have illuminated the corruption and greed. Decades ago, they did this, but the problem still remains. So he's now giving us, you know, he went to Penn, Ivy League school, and he's now educating everybody on the problems with the system as though he is a professor. I'm not asking you to diagnose him, but what's your diagnosis of this guy?
Well, when we first started, I said he's incredibly grandiose. And that is just the tip of the iceberg of here. The key thing that of the manifesto that I like, Joel, is the word deserves. And I would say under his logic, if being part of a healthcare program, you deserve to be shot, then I would wonder, wait a minute, if you shoot somebody in broad daylight that's defenseless, what would that person deserve?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great question. Look at this, Raj. You just got a marriage proposal from Ned Smith for that comment. Raj is married. This is an amazing panel. They also log their 10,000 steps on their Apple Watch between John Tompkins and Dr. Roger Rhodes. I think they got about 33,000 steps in today. Made me have a quiet anxiety / heart attack as it was all going on. But it all ends, all that begins shakily ends well with Ned Smith proposing on air to Dr. Roger Rhodes. For those who do not know, John Tompkins, he is a very savvy criminal defense attorney who I would want representing me if I ever got into trouble. And he is based out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and had some, you know, really good commentary with the Delphi trial. John, your final thoughts on this? He heads to state court tomorrow for state charges. Again, the federal hearing is on March 19th. What happens next in, you know, in a three-tiered, very complicated case like this one?
Well, I'm going to go to, as my final comment, a what if. What if this case has to go to trial? What if the state won't give a reasonable plea? What if the feds won't take the death penalty off the table? And the lawyers have to take what is being described as an indefensible case to trial. You can't treat it as an indefensible case. You've got to go back and find the playbook from history. I'll give you two examples. And you've got to go in there and fight fire with fire, because if they won't be reasonable and give you what's a reasonable, best possible outcome, you have to try to win, period. So let's look back. We're acting like this healthcare issue is the only one that has led to vigilantism, and no one's ever been on trial for this. You know, Clarence Darrow, 100 years ago, was defending union members in Los Angeles for blowing up printing presses at the Los Angeles Times, and he was getting them off. look at that playbook for how to defend these cases. In the 60s, we had bombers, you know, protesting both civil rights and the Vietnam War, and they were being forced to go to trial because the government wanted to make an example of them. And there are playbooks on how to defend them, and it is. These are the symbols of the people. Those are the government. You're the people. The jury is the people. And that's why you should not convict them, even if this is a heinous act.
Spoken like a very formidable defense attorney. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, John. I'm going to bounce you off so you can drive home safely.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Great to see you. Drive safely. No one should be allowed to drive while podcasting, COE. That's we got to get policy. We got to get STS policy on that. Could be a problem with HR.
Joel, if the, Raj. If the bull's in a ditch, you're going to do whatever it takes to get the bull out. If I've got to be on a podcast and I'm in a car, then I'm going to get in the car and do it to be on the podcast.
Well, the COE's
the ditch thought.
I was just told he was in the back of an Uber, so I feel better. I just feel bad for the Uber driver. And that Uber driver better have subscribed to STS. If you guys appreciate the content, please subscribe. Space Coast saying it best here. Mo Dean, he is the head of STS HR. He is America's favorite troll, who I haven't seen in a little bit, but he's been around. Dwayne Cates. Seems like a stand-up man. Never met him in person. By the way, I'm going to be in Tucson in 2 weeks for Tucson Festival Books down I-10 from Dwayne Cates. So if you're in the Tucson area, I'll be posting about it. Don't you worry. Dwayne, your final thoughts here. The COE wants to know who has signed your plaid shirt. She sees signatures. Whose names are on there and your final thoughts?
I don't know. This shirt, I bought this shirt in Europe. It's a company called Desigual. They have really cool shirts. And so it's probably in Spanish or some other language, but yeah. I don't know what it says, but I like the shirt.
Yeah, Desigual, you better start sponsoring us immediately. We do know. I never knew it was pronounced that way. I was going to pronounce it in some gringo way. But Dwayne, where do you see this going next? Is there going to be... If there is a plea deal reached, how soon would that be reached?
Well, it'll be a while, okay? Again, because they're going to go – Mangione's not going to go down easy. He's not going to go down quietly, okay? He's going to milk this for all it's worth. Amen. I mean, there could be a plea, you know, on the courthouse steps the morning of trial, okay? That's just kind of how it is.
Mm. There you go. You heard that from Dwayne. Maybe I think I have a stopover in Phoenix. Maybe it'll be enough time to grab a bite with Dwayne, treat him to dinner. Dr. Raj never disappoints, even though sometimes he comes in a dark, freezing, frozen tundra setting. Sometimes he's sideways. Sometimes he's right side up. And sometimes his Wi-Fi is bleeding into I don't know what, but we still love him and we can hear him. So that's all that matters. Roger Rhodes, a two-parter. If you could offer advice to Luigi right now in prison, not legal advice, but mental health advice, not in prison, but at the NBC, what would you say to him?
Get directed to the mental health section. The best mental health available within the court system and get in there and get a seat is what I would tell him. That he's not well, and putting him out there in the media is just going to feed him. And I'm sorry, but I believe it will feed others who think like he thinks.
Great point. Do you believe, we haven't seen it yet, do you believe that once this goes to trial and it's hyped up again and people are talking about, is there the possibility, I assume there always is, of a copycat killing? You worried about that?
Yeah, certainly. Without a doubt, anytime you have this and you have such a level of notoriety, there's always a condition of copycatism that's out there because there's so many mentally ill people in America, and that, you know, feel insignificant. And when they see he gets significance by doing this, they may go, aha, so will I.
Yeah. Final question before I get there, though. Phil Waters suggested a story. I had a different story in mind, but his story is better. We're going to be doing it tomorrow at 12:30 with Phil and Scott. If you don't know it, Google James Craig in Aurora, Colorado, accused of fatally poisoning his wife. But he also tried to get the lead detective killed. So it never disappoints. There's always another twist. There's always another turn. And since Phil is one of the best known homicide detectives in this country, and he was trying to put a hit out on the detective, Phil found it interesting. So did I. And we're going to discuss that tomorrow. And the COE is going to get me a thumbnail. We're going to post it and you'll be able to come there and watch the show in real time tomorrow. Raj, last question. I want to bang my head against the desk because there are people, as you just saw, making a moral equivalency between murder and healthcare companies, people, you know, dying, which is a sad, sad reality of life. But again, if we revert back to that, we become the Middle Ages. You talked about it. We become anarchy-filled society. Anarchist society. That's the word I'm looking for. So,
yeah,
Raj.
There it is.
So, what's your final word to those who are saying this is okay? He did the right thing.
Seek help. Seek mental help. If you think that anything that this guy was about was in the realm of healthiness, you are wrong. Please seek mental health help today. It's available. It's all over America. Sign up.
Yeah, Raj, you and I have to connect on the phone. We'll do that. Thank you to these best guests. You got Dr. Roger Rhodes, Dwayne Cates, who just, it's fitting. He just disappeared on us. I love Dwayne. And John Tompkins, a weird night, weird show, but a good topic. And subscribe, like us, check out Patreon, where the COE and I are going to be much more engaged moving forward. And we will be back tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Love you, America. Love you, South Carolina. Love you, Phoenix, Arizona, Indianapolis, Indiana, and justice for Brian Thompson here.